It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's the 29th of August, and we're glad that you're with us this day. Psalms 138 tells us that this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Psalms 122 tells us that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we also know that this is the holy Sabbath day, the morning of the holy Sabbath day. So we look so forward to spending time with God and with you. It's time for prayer. My wife, Undreamed Up, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you on your Sabbath day. We thank you for this time to come together as your children and to be able to approach your throne of grace. And now, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your Spirit. And always, Lord, help us to grow in grace and wisdom as your Spirit guide us throughout this day. For this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about time. Lift up your head, your redemption is nigh. Let glad alleluia mount up to the sky.
topic is the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. Let us pray. Father, thank you very much for just being with us, being the kind and merciful God that you are, the God of power, the God of war, the God of peace, the God of comfort, the God of all knowledge. We pray that you bless us now as we study the word and that you will show us the way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Exodus 14, brothers and sisters, the children of Israel. What lessons can we learn as they are about to cross the Red Sea? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that God will lead us where we are to go if we ask him to, and we're willing to go where he wants us to go. However, where he leads may not always seem to be the best decision. He was here encamping them into a place where they could not run. They had no place to go. There was a mountain on one side, a mountain on the other side, and the only other way was back toward Egypt or forward to the Red Sea. Why would God have them encamp there and knowing that Pharaoh would come? You see, God sees the end from the beginning, and he will place you in some trying situations, brothers and sisters, that if you were to move forward in the way that it seems you should go, it will not make sense to you. But that is because God is building your faith, and he's wanting you to go through a trial and tribulation so you can see how he will be honored through your obedience. And we complain sometimes about our circumstances. Once you are in Christ, you have no need to complain about your circumstances. Just give them to God. God can change your circumstances in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. If he has not, there is something for you to learn in the process, my brothers and sisters. Let's read on. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. So God, one of his purposes was to cause Pharaoh to think that God's people are vulnerable, that they're weak, that they have no place to go, that they're trapped. And I will tell you, in the last days, God's people will be greatly outnumbered. God's people will be labeled by the masses as terrorists. God's people will be confronted with obstacles on every side. And it will seem like an easy task to take out those who choose to obey the Lord. I am telling you what the Bible says. For the Bible says that the two-horned beast, the United States of America, the two horns represent republicanism and Protestantism, not the Republican Party, but republicanism, the principle that gives civil freedom, and republicanism. And that's republicanism and Protestantism, that principle that guarantees religious freedom, keeping the church separated from the state. The Bible says that nation would speak as a dragon. It said it would cause the whole world to worship the first beast. Who was the first beast? The Roman Catholic Church in that chapter. And it said it would speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast to receive a mark in their forehead. Are in their hand, okay? All right, so would speak and cause everyone to receive a mark in their forehead or in their hand, and those who would not worship the beast, that there would be a death penalty. And so, my brothers and sisters, that is what we're facing, and we will be in a position of vulnerability. But what are we doing today, my friends, when the trials come? What are we doing today when we can't always see the way? God is testing us, and he's preparing us for that time through the trials and tribulations that we have today. But we must understand God seldom has his people go backwards. He has us go forward, friends. We may not be able to see how we're going to go forward, but God could have had them to keep moving. And if a mountain was in front of them, we have a promise that through faith we can move mountains. And so, my friends, this is the lot of the children of Israel, and this is the hardening, the result of Pharaoh hardening his heart, coming after the children of Israel. It says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" Friends, he just couldn't get it. It wasn't enough to have the rivers turn to blood. It wasn't enough to have frogs. It wasn't enough to have lice and flies and hail and locusts. It wasn't enough to have his firstborn son die. Pharaoh was stubborn, and many of us are stubborn, brothers and sisters. Now, everybody that is not always in the will of God is not stubborn. Some are under a spell. Yes, we said it, brothers and sisters. There is a satanic spell that comes upon God's people so that they cannot see what they ought to see, and they just get stuck in a rut. They don't know which way to go, whether they should go forward, whether they should go backwards. They're just stuck in a rut, and they can't see the pure truth the way it ought to be seen. They are under the spell of witchcraft, my brothers and sisters. You don't believe that it happens that way, but it does, and we've all been under that spell. Anytime the truth, which is plain, which can be seen by the word of God, does not cause you to move toward truth, you are under the spell of witchcraft. That's all the devil has, is deception. Every deception is a type of witchcraft, okay? The devil puts a spell so that our eyes like have scales on them. But I will tell you that truth and love will penetrate those scales and will cause them to melt. If we pray for one another, brothers and sisters, and we live and love each other, and that we tell the truth in love. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be involved in sensationalism. Even sometimes people in present truth, they're involved in sensationalism, trying to grab your attention with the latest and greatest. I'm here to tell you that sometimes they lack simple character development. They're not patient. They're not kind. They're not loving. If something that happened to you might, they think, cause their ministry to look bad, if they associate with you, oh, they will drop you like a hot potato. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not who's going in. I don't care how much truth they teach. If we don't have the character of God, we're not going to make it into the kingdom of God. God's people would not walk away from God's people. And if you don't see the spirit of the devil in a person, then there's no other choice. They've got to have the spirit of God. There is no other way. And so sometimes we have to go through dark times, brothers and sisters, because people will turn their backs on you. People who don't know Jesus the way they ought to know them, but they think it's their job to protect their ministry. No, it's their job to have Christian character. That's their job. And they don't understand their job. And yet they seem to prosper. It's okay, because what they do know, God is prospering them in what they do know. And they may seem to prosper greatly, but I'm here to tell you that's not how the work's going to get finished. And we're going to see that if we keep our eyes open. The work is not going to get finished by sensationalism and preaching and all of that, brothers and sisters. It's not. People need, the most important subject for Jesus was the paternal care of his father. That's what he dwelt on. He didn't dwell on all the signs. He talked about the signs of the time because he was part of prophecy himself. But brothers and sisters, he didn't dwell on all the stuff the Romans were doing. That wasn't the focus of his attention, what the Romans were doing. The Romans were the government and what they were doing. That was not the focus. He knew what to tell the disciples. He told them, look, when you see them surround, then he that is in Judea, flee to the mountains. He told them what to do. He knew every move they were going to make. I don't care if they use a million levels of AI. They are not smarter than God, brothers and sisters. I don't care what kind of surveillance they have. They are not smarter than God. God has shown us in the Bible that he can take Peter and others and his people, and when soldiers or can't even see, doors will open, and he will escort his people out of jail, and the devil didn't, and the soldiers didn't even know they left. I'm here to tell you that God is stronger than all of the assault weapons in the world, all the tanks in the world, all the sophisticated aircraft in the world, all the munitions of the world, all the grenades of the world. Everything that man has to bring about destruction, including atomic bombs, God is stronger than all of it by far, brothers and sisters. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. Brothers and sisters, he didn't just bring a marching army, an army of foot soldiers. He brought cavalry. Now, people on foot are afraid of, it's like you against a tank. People on foot, when chariots came back in the day, that was like foot soldiers against a tank. They had no chance of overcoming in most cases. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea besides Haheroth before Baal-Zephon. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there is no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Friends, when God tells you to do something, even people in the church are going to come against you, and they're going to complain, and they're going to murmur. We have to understand this. It's happened in the Bible, and we must understand, we must stand strong and just follow what God has said. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Oh, my friends, the devil wants to take away the bondage, but we're afraid to take that step. We're involved in error. We're involved in a witchcraft, not even realizing the devil has cast a spell of deception over us, and we just can't see it. We just have this mental block. We just can't see it. Oh, God wants to deliver you, oh, precious one. God loves you. He's going to lift the scales off your eyes because he loves you. Just don't resist. And then God is wanting us to understand it is the devil that doesn't want you to know what is truth. It is the devil that wants to keep us in error, my friends. And the devil wants you to have a combination of truth and error because that's more deceptive. What did we learn about that in the time that Adam and Eve, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that deceived them. It wasn't all evil. The devil knew that if it was all evil, he couldn't deceive them. So he mixed some good with the evil, and that attracted Eve to the tree, my brothers and sisters. And she hung out by the tree and listened to the snake and even tempted her husband, Adam. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Friends, we only need good. We don't need a good and evil. That's what's wrong with the educational system. People think they have to have a degree because it's got a little good in it, but it's got evil in it too. You don't need those degrees, friends. You don't need that. That's not what God wants you to do. It's not his perfect will that we have exposure to good and evil. We should have only good. Oh, the medical profession, it does some good, but it does some evil too. We should be striving to listen to God because God has only good, my friend. And then God doesn't want you to understand that. And so he wants you to die before your time. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, what a promise. Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Three things. Don't fear. Relax, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. There comes a point in time where there's nothing we can do but listen to God and do whatever he says because it's all in his hands at this point. It says, which he will show you today, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall seek them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Oh, isn't that beautiful? See, that's what happens when the scales fall off your eyes. The Lord fights for you, and you hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. What? Forward? There's a big old sea over there, Lord. Go forward. See, God sees the end from the beginning. There is nothing too hard for him. He can move seas out of the way and have people walk on dry land. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. Remember, hardening of the heart is the wrong response to miracles. It's a miracle. They could see the children of Israel going forward into the sea, and they were like, whoa. And instead of realizing that God was with them, they said, oh, we're going to get them now before they escape. You see, the devil will not relinquish his people without a fight. He will never do it willingly. So if you are doing nothing, my brothers and sisters, and you are just thinking that status quo will get you through, let me tell you something. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to go forward where God is leading, but you just stay where you are. That's definite. That is sure death. You've got to move forward. God wants us to get more truth and more truth and more truth and more truth. He doesn't want you to stay where there's truth and error, my friend. And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. You see, that's how God is honored in your life, is when you're following truth, when you're doing everything God has asked you to do. And so the devil doesn't want God to get honor in your life, so he tries to keep you stuck and scared. You hear me, friend? Stuck and scared. If you are stuck and scared and you feel stuck and scared, that's because the devil has blinders over your eyes, and God wants to remove them so you can move forward, and he will get honor over Pharaoh. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful thing, because sometimes the way God leads, we like him to lead us from the front. But sometimes God is in the back, and he's just shining a light in the way you should go. And because he doesn't come with a lightning bolt, we just sometimes stand still. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 30:21, and you shall hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Remember, we learned that the devil just wants you to stand still and be stuck and scared. God wants you to move forward, forward for truth, forward away from Egypt. Brothers and sisters, Egypt was involved in witchcraft, and people who believe that when you die, you go straight to hell or straight to heaven. That's witchcraft. It was given to us, the teaching was given to us in the first temptation on earth in Genesis chapter 3. The devil told Eve, thou will not surely die. That means when you die, you're not really dead. And so, brothers and sisters, when you go to funerals and they comfort the family by saying she's up in heaven, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a form of witchcraft, because the occult think they get their power from the spirits of the dead. That's where they think they get their power. And so that came from the devil, because if he can cause you to think that, then you can be deceived, brothers and sisters. And there's witchcraft being taught in churches. You don't want, like me to say it, but it's the truth. I will never go to a funeral and stand up as a preacher and say he's in heaven or he's in hell. Oh, my brothers and sisters, when we had my mother's memorial service, we talked about the end of time and how close we are, and that we will not have to wait long before we see our mother again, because we are in the last days of this earth's history. How do we know? Oh, it's easy to know, brothers and sisters. The two political parties running this country, they are confusing us as it relates to the Constitution of the United States. And because of that confusion, that means the Constitution eventually is going to be obliterated. And if you do that, they can bring in the Sunday law that the Bible predicts. So when the Democrats try to tell you that it's a civil right for a man to sleep with a man and marry a man, and you have to acknowledge that. And when the Republican Party, and they say that's their constitutional right, and when the Republican Party says, oh, we have the constitutional right to overthrow the Capitol on January 6th, make sure that the sitting president who was voted out gets to stay in, and we're standing in defense of the Constitution in so doing. Oh, my brothers and sisters, they're just trying to confuse you as to the nature of the Constitution. The Constitution is not the Bible, but God set up America, friends. God set it up, and God blessed it because it was a nation that was willing to give civil freedoms and religious freedoms. That was the two horns mentioned in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. And I am here to tell you these are signs that Jesus is coming very soon, because you've got to deal, you've got to totally wipe out the Constitution, the force of the Constitution, in order to have the mark of the beast forced upon the people of God. And everybody, by the way. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians. So God comes behind us and he shines a light, but he doesn't want you to sit in stupor and be stuck and scared. He wants you to move forward where truth is. And be bold about it. If you're not sure, then go and say, what do you believe about this? What does the Bible teach about this? And a preacher should be able to tell you what the Bible teaches, my brothers and sisters. We should be able to go and hear the truth wherever we go. And I want you all to understand, people think I'm talking about Sunday worship. I'm here to tell you that your preacher who worships on Sabbath, if he is not leading you to study the Bible the way you ought to and the spirit of prophecy the way you ought to, if he's not teaching you the health message of the Lord, friends, because we must have healthy bodies as best we can in these last days to hear the voice of God speaking to us. Oh, brothers and sisters, the standards of the church have gone down, and people dress any kind of way in the house of God. I am here to tell you, you need to call those pastors to a higher standard. And if they will not go to that higher standard, you need to go somewhere else, my friend. And so I'm here to tell you, no matter whether you worship on Saturday or worship on Sunday, we need to worship in spirit and in truth. There is a definite attempt by ministers to keep you from knowing what is truth. Sabbath keeping and Sunday keeping, friends. But I'm here to tell you that God is the God of truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them through thy truth. We're only made holy by the truth. Thy word is truth. So if you're combining truth and error, you're lacking sanctification. You can't be saved when you're not, you don't prize sanctification and holiness. There's not going to be confusion in heaven. We're preparing for that heaven now, my friends. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And they hadn't figured that out with all the plagues. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came unto the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left, thus saith the Lord. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Friends, you can't be stuck and scared. You've got to have faith in God. Have faith in God. He will bless you. He will remove you from your stupor. He will take the scales off your eyes and allow you to walk with God in faith, and you will have victory in your life and not be stuck and scared. The children of Israel would have been stuck and scared, but Moses was there, their great leader, who God had set up by preparing him through being a shepherd over dumb sheep for 40 years so he could understand that it was not him, but it was God that would deliver them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, let's be faithful to God today. This is our message for today. We are not going to have a wellness segment. We will be back on at 12 to have our worship service. Our title is Fraud Upon the Court. Fraud Upon the Court. That will be our topic today. You don't want to miss that topic today, brothers and sisters. Fraud Upon the Court. God is good. I'm going to ask my wife if she will have our closing prayer at this time, and we will then just go ahead and close out, and we'll see you at 12.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word. And now, Lord, we ask as we go throughout your Sabbath day that your spirit will continue to abide with us. Help us, Lord, to spend quality time with you, that special intimate time on your Sabbath day. As we press forth our petitions, we pray for every soul on this line that you will grant us special blessings on this Sabbath day. Help us, Lord, with our help. Help us with our spiritual life, our walk with you. And help us, Lord, with our physical as well as our mental. And we ask that you will do all you can, Lord, in these efforts as we work with you. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land, with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord bless the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.